aspects of it. Some of you are kind of familiar as the HUB. Well, HUB, H-U-B, stands for Heritage United Brethren. And then also that Christ, God's Son, is at the center of all who we are. And everything should radiate out from that. And you see we have the rays of the sun, you know, coming out from the middle. And not only that, that you have the wheel in the background. Most of you are familiar with Ichthus, the Jesus fish, you know, you see on the back of people's cars and things like that. Well, originally, early Christians used a wheel. And actually, the letters in Greek for Jesus Christ, Son of God and Savior. And this is found on some early Christian tombs, but I, or Iota, the first letter for Greek for Jesus Christ, the cross symbol, God, that figure there for the mind in the middle, and Sigma for Son, and Epsilon for Savior. If you put those all on top of each other, they form this wheel. And so now you know what's behind the logo. But before we go on any farther, I have a video to share with you. This all along the process of the building going up, there's been kind of a lot of sightings along the way. And I wanted to keep this to one song, and so there's no way I can really do justice to all the God sightings along the whole building process. And my abilities with PowerPoint only allow me to do so much, so I condense my words down. But this will give you an idea, just as you see the progress of the building going up, but God at work throughout the entire process.
Thank you.
Well, as you can see, that is just a partial list of what can be fit on the way that God was working in and through people around Danville to make this possible. And I mean, caught some of that, but I just wanted to acknowledge a few people really quickly. Mrs. Bryan, can I have you stand up for just a moment? Carol's in the back here, and her husband had this property as a Christmas tree farm for many, many years, and we came to her, and this land wasn't even for sale, and she agreed to sell it to us in this wonderful location, and like you said, there, we've been kind of paying on the land, and when we had to go pay it off, she credited every bit of interest that we paid towards the principal, and just amazing and so wonderful now to have her as a neighbor, and we just give a thank you so much. And of course, I mentioned there, Stan, could you stand up for just a moment? Just, you know, we're even getting the process started. You know, just helping us get started at the beginning, donating in time and skills to help us vision, you know, what it would look like, you know, just from the very beginning. Been great to work with the whole time. Did a great job on the building itself. Just couldn't be happier. Of course, many of you know him, a local guy here in Danville, and just so proud and privileged that he was the architect of making this all happen. So please, can we give a big hand?
Then they had a grand opening service today.
Then and our future is unsure. Tuesday, we have an election, and no matter what happens, you know, not everybody's going to be upset. And I want to be clear about this before I move on. I do think voting is important. I mean, it's a right, it's a privilege, it's a duty, it's a responsibility. I want to make sure I got this on record in the early recording because we do have a candidate for the House of Representatives worshiping with us this morning. So I want to make sure, Jeff, that I mentioned that how important the voting is. However, the Redeemer of this world is someone who never seeks re-election. A new election is not going to redeem the fallenness of the world. The next dot-com phenomenon is not going to redeem the fallenness of this world. A new educational program or institution will not redeem the fallenness of this world. Which is why we have people from business and politics and education with us this morning. Because only Jesus Christ, and not a new building or better circumstances or better life, can redeem us and give us the remedy for sin. So our focus this morning, and every morning, will be on Christ. And our mission is kind of at the bottom of your bulletin sheet and has been for a long time. To know Christ, to grow in Christ, to serve Christ, and to share Christ. I want to revisit that. You know, for those of you who are new or refresh that vision, who have been with us for a while, but these four things are so important to who we are as a church. You know, because we're describing a mission and a process. It's a vision for where we want to be, and it's a benchmark for where we are now. And it's a process, a motion from one stage of discipleship to the next. And we're deriving our mission from the Great Commission and the Great Commandment, which I'll show you in a little bit. But I just want you to walk through these four steps of discipleship to share what we are about as a church, now and in the future. So the first one there is to know Christ. It's about beginning a relationship with God. It's where people go from knowing about God to knowing God. Where Christ goes from being the Savior of the world to my personal Savior. And our main avenue for accomplishing that, at least corporately, is our weekly worship. And we want an environment where people have a fresh encounter with God. We want this to be a place where, you know, everyone is welcome and nobody is perfect and anything is possible. In fact, I want to get that drilled in your head so well. Let's do a little thing together. We're going to point around, you know, just to two people around you, and we're going to say, everyone is welcome. Okay, let's try that. Everyone is welcome. Okay? Now we're going to point at ourselves when we say the second part. Remind us that nobody's perfect. And if I remember that I'm not perfect, then I'm not holding someone else to a higher standard than myself, and I have the grace to give to others when I remember that I'm not perfect myself. So let's point to ourselves. Say the second part. Nobody's perfect. And then we're going to point, we'll ask them to point heavenward. I know Dr. Radar says maybe heaven is correct. Anyway, we'll point this way to represent heavenward, where we say, and anything is possible. Let's try that. And anything is possible. All right, ready? All together. Ready? Here we go. Everyone is welcome. Nobody's perfect. And anything is possible. It's so important for us to remember, and that's what we want to be about in our weekly worship. In our next 3 weeks in our weekly worship is going to be an introduction to Christianity. Christianity 101. We're going to kind of hit the reset button. Because some of us need to be introduced to Christianity. Some of us need to be reminded of who God is, what he's planned for our life. So we're going to talk about the message of the Christian faith and the miracle of the Christian life. And what does that look like? And for some, that's going to be a stretch goal to make those next 3 weeks to come out and find more about Christianity. And that's commendable. But our worship service should be an on-ramp to something more. Not just a cul-de-sac where you come and, you know, go back each week. It should be an on-ramp. You ask the question, what's my next step? As I come to know Christ, the next thing that we as the Hub desire from you is that you come to grow in Christ. Where you connect relationally, grow deeper in the understanding and the practice of the Christian life. In its simplest form, being a disciple of Christ means this. Giving as much of yourself as you can to as much of Christ as you understand. You give as much of yourself as you can to as much of Christ as you understand. And I know we touch Christ for our salvation one time, but there's this lifelong rededication process as I found out more and more what it means to be a Christ follower. When I was a young man just going to Hope College, I didn't go to church a lot growing up. My biggest Exposure to Christianity was the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And what I understood there from Fellowship of Christian Athletes is people who were Christians had Christ in their heart. And so I found myself in a few days of being at Hope, coming up from North Carolina, not really having a Christian background, nobody even from my state, was up at Hope College, and I wanted Christ in my life to be a friend that would never leave me. And that's about as much as I understood. And so I asked Christ to come into my heart. Later on that year, the Gideons would come by, the guys put the Bibles in the hotel rooms and things like that. They were there at our cafeteria, okay, and they were handing out Bibles to me and others, actually this Bible, which I lost. I found years later, you can see it got wet and it's kind of expanded. But I started reading through it, and all of a sudden there was more that I understood about Christ. I looked in the back, and it said, God loves you, and it listed the verses that explained that to me, and that all are sinners, and explained that to me. It talked about God loving you for sin, which of course is Jesus Christ, and that all may be saved now, and now I understood Christ more, and I wanted to give all of what I could to as much of Christ as I understood. And so then I wrote my name right there, February 19, 1989. And from that point, I began to know more about Christ. And each time I do, I want to give as much of myself as I can, so much of Christ as I understand. We want to get to a point where we're not just dependent on Sunday morning for spiritual feeding. You come in on Sunday morning, boy, I want to get fed this morning. And you should. But let me ask, anybody here like to eat? Raise your hand if you like to eat. A couple of eaters here. Alright, good. Now, if you just ate once a week, you're going to starve. And I don't care how good your meal is. There's 168 hours a week, and all week long, the world is pumping its poison into you like a sewage pipe. With its message of pride and sin and me-centeredness, and we're going to combat that all in 1 hour a week on a Sunday. We can't put on that good of a service. And that's even on the mornings when I'm rapping. We just can't do it. So we encourage people to become part of a group, with a small group, where there's a relationship and discipleship component. Coming up at the beginning of this, we have some groups that are going on now, but one thing we want to do corporately all together, coming in the beginning of the new year in January, there's 40 days in the Word. And some of you have been here when you've gone through 40 days of purpose and 40 days of love. But just these 6 weeks group where we look at, how do I read this book? How do I understand this book? Where did we get this book? Is this book reliable to learn about the Bible, to take away the intimidation factor of the Bible? And also, as we grow, we encourage people to be in the Word each day. And a year before last, we went through a life journal where we were reading and journaling every day. In the back, maybe we have these daily bread. Maybe you have your own personal devotion. But in that growth stage, we really want to encourage people to do that. And of course, we have other E-Zone and Open Gym and middle school youth group and high school youth group and things like that to be all part of the growth process. Contributing to growing in Christ's convention. And once you're growing, you need to find a way to contribute to God's kingdom. And that's to serve Christ. It's an opportunity to demonstrate the love of Christ to others. And sometimes the seemingly smallest area of service can make the biggest impact. I know full well that a greeting that you received this morning before service or after service, or the way that your kids are treated in Sunday school, or even reading material put out by a volunteer can have more effect on you than a sermon. But the family of Christ, the body of Christ, is described as a body put together. Like in 1 Corinthians 12, and if you can help me as I go through here. But starting in verse 12, and I'm going to ask a couple of you maybe just to stand up just for a moment to help me. All you have to do is stand. But it says this, the body is a unit. Though it's made up of many parts, and all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ. For we're all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we're all given one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Okay, if the foot should say, okay,
Okay. But the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, okay, then I don't belong to the body. And for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body. And for that reason, cease to be a part of the body. And if the whole body were an eye, well then where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? All right. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, well, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. Okay, and the head cannot say to the feet, okay, I don't need you. But God, I'm getting right there. Cannot say, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body, you guys sit down, think about your own body for a moment. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. The parts that are unpresentable. Sorry about that. I stepped on your foot. Less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable, we treat with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special. But God has combined the members of the body and given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so there should be no division in the body, but its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. And you felt that many times in our body when there's those that are hurting and need to be prayed for or comforted, or those that are rejoicing and rejoice with them. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And I don't know, but this morning, if you feel like an eye, or an ear, or a foot, or a head, if you feel presentable or unpresentable in the eyes of God, that all really matters really little. All I know is that you're needed and you're wanted in the body of Christ. And so we serve. And of course, there are places that we serve inside of the church and the outside of the church. service, some people serve in mission work, or other Christian agencies, or the Red Cross, could be snowblowing your neighbor's driveway. And inside the church, there's always something, as you think where you might plug in. Well, I want to take a little break to illustrate the process in a different way, to illustrate the four stages to know, grow, serve, and share Christ. And we do that as God has called us to be salt and light in the world. The light, we're going to represent that as we become light in the world. We are, as we lighten the match, that is the growth, the know stage. We come to know Christ, we begin a relationship with Christ. But then it's important to go to the growth stage to be grounded in body of believers. So we become grounded in the body of believers, and then we also need the oxygen around us to feed the flame, which is God's Holy Spirit. And God's Holy Spirit that is fed to us where we spend time in His Word, time on our knees, time with one another, and just like the oxygen in this room and beyond, God's Holy Spirit never runs out. And finally, the light that's given off, the heat that's giving off, is like serving and sharing. And we're to have an impact on the world around us. And we're to be light as examples to draw others towards the true light, Jesus Christ. But what if we know Christ, but we don't grow in Christ? And then we try to serve Christ and share Christ. What happens then? Well, if we're cut off from that, the oxygen that allows us
to grow in Christ. It's like a candle cut off from oxygen. You have this Holy Spirit in your life, you're not growing your faith, you'll burn out. Serving will suck life from you, and sharing will seem like an obligation. And that's why this is a process, and we can't leave out the grow stage. That brings us kind of to our last stage, and which is sharing Christ. Sharing Christ is an opportunity for you to invest in what matters most to God, which is people. And it's also an opportunity to invite people to an environment where they can have a fresh encounter with God. Investing and also inviting. If you talk about this personally, corporately, personal evangelism, you know, the dreaded key word. I mean, you might notice we didn't really take out an ad or send out flyers or anything for service today. If you're here, probably somebody invited to be here. And what the Bible refers to as being salt and light in the community, the people should know what makes you different. You have to always ask that question, and why? It's like we're supposed to be salt and light. If salt isn't having an effect on something, well, then it either isn't salty or it's still in the shaker. Salt has to have potency and proximity to the thing that it's going to affect. And if it's not having an effect, that's why we can't skip the growth step. We can't just go into serving and sharing without borrowing. Because others should want what you have. And you say, you have the kind of, maybe it's the marriage relationship I want, or integrity I want to see in myself. I'm trying to emulate how you handle relationships. Or I admire the peace in your life when the waves are just crashing in all around you. Emulate your priorities. To ask, is your faith having an effect on your life? Do your beliefs have an effect on your actions? And it's so important for sharing Christ. And so many of you have been involved in that, not personally, but then corporately, as the things we talked about this morning, whether it's a buckle, Christmas Eve service, or Easter egg hunt, or VBS, or Family Day kind of a thing, or Memorial Day event at the property, or farmer's market, or Bible order, in different areas where we get to be God's light in the world. This is just the growth stage. I mean, the share stage is to hopefully get people started that at the beginning of the process, to know Christ. You know, it's circular. This is just a little illustration that comes together. You can see that the letters overlap because, you know, sometimes the stages overlap. It's not just a process of, I know Christ, okay, now I'm growing Christ, okay, now I'm going to serve Christ, okay, now I'm going to share Christ. I mean, we know that there's some overlapping in that process. And of course, we have the cross being to know and serve is supported by the grow, that the horizontal beam can't support itself. But if you look at the two beams, the horizontal beam is the great commandment. As we look up there, it says, know and serve. Luke 10:27, Jesus, he answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind. That's knowing Christ. And then love your neighbor as yourself. That's to serve. And then the vertical beam is the Great Commission, Matthew 28:18-20. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. That's to share. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Because when we're baptized, we're not just getting wet, we're being baptized into His family. We're growing relationally. And then it says, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. So we grow in discipleship and our relationship with God. And we can state the process most simply by this. I become a mature disciple in Christ when I know Christ, I grow in Christ, serve Christ, and share Christ. And that's what we're about in the church. And I should be able to answer the question, you know, where am I? What's my next step? You know, if this is your first week here, maybe your next step is probably to make next week your second week here. To come to know more about Christ in that Christianity 101 process. Or if you've been coming for a while, it's just kind of Sunday morning, you know, going to cul-de-sac, and it's not an on-ramp, but a cul-de-sac to come back home. It's time to explore where God is leading. Prepare yourself to sign up for one of the 40 days in His Word groups. Pick up a copy of the Daily Bread on your way out and start having that manna from heaven that God provides us just enough for each day. And as you grow, then serving and sharing become flow much more natural. Become not something that's draining, but something giving you life if you find God's purpose in your life. So let's say them all together one time so we get this remember. All right, here we go.
Know Christ, grow in Christ, serve Christ, and share Christ.
And all of that for the glory of God. We're going to finish by singing together. And we'll have a worship team come up front. What we know is true. What we hope we know is that He is the God of the city. That the God of our life is that He'll use this place and use the believers here to be that light, which is a city on a hill, which is not put into a basket or covered up, but its light is put on a stand for those that are around. As the worship team is coming up, I'm going to tell you one more little heritage inside thing. The hub was almost named, we came really close, the name of the hub, Hub 1050. And that comes from our address, which is 1050 Diggs Street. But also, there's one place in the Bible that is the verse 1050, and that falls in Mark. And in Mark 1050, just before it, it's talking about a man, blind Bartimaeus. And it says this. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." This is verse 10:50 right here. Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. That phrase, throwing his cloak aside, that cloak is where he would gather as he was begging, and people would drop coins into his lap. That was his future, that was his security, that was what was known, you know, versus the unknown. And he took that and threw it aside to follow Jesus when he said to him, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." I don't know what your cloak is this morning. Other people's opinions, a demanding schedule, whatever it is, it would hinder you from fully pursuing God's path and purpose for your life and knowing Him, growing in Him, serving Him, and sharing Him with others. Ask you to throw that aside this morning as we sing this last song. In fact, let's obey the verse here. It says, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." So throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. As he threw his cloak aside, let's sing to the God of this city, which he has always been, but we acknowledge it now with our voices and in our hearts, not just our city, but in our lives.